We're going to look at one scripture from Matthew chapter 16. So we're going to go there first, after which we will go to the 26th chapter of Matthew, and then look at a couple of verses from John 16, and hopefully we're going to wind up on the day of Pentecost. I've had some question me concerning the fact that they just don't feel like they're growing as fast as they should, and what needs to be done. Well, the Lord has showed me something, and I think this is very important. And we want to start with the 16th chapter of Matthew, and this has to do with when Jesus came into Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" That's verse 13 of chapter 16. And some say that you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And so Jesus said to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." In other words, Peter, man, you got a revelation. This wasn't revealed to you by anybody else. I didn't even reveal it to you myself, you see. But the Father which is in heaven revealed it to you. And in verse 18 he says, "I say unto you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Upon that revelation that the Lord builds his church. And going down to verse 21 and see what comes next. Now, there's an order in Revelation, and this is the next step that takes place after you get a revelation of who he is. Verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Now, it wasn't time for him to talk to them about this that was going to happen until they got the revelation of who he was. Now is time, so this is the next step. But look at verse 22. Peter began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you." But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you're an offense to me." In other words, Peter is saying, "No, I don't want to lose my Jesus. This cannot happen to you. You have to stay with us. I will not accept that." And the Lord rebukes him for it. Let's go on down to 26, chapter 26. There's something I want to point out here. We're just going to read the first five verses, I think, if that many. "It came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.'" See, he's talking about it again. Just 2 days. And this is what's going to happen. Down to verse 6. "Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why are you troubling the woman? For she had wrought a good work upon me, but you have the poor always with you, but me you do not always have.' And what she has done shall be a memorial unto her. She did it as an ointment for my burial. Now, I'm not so much interested in the oil being poured. What I'm interested in here is where the disciples are at this time. This is the last week of Jesus' ministry. This is chapter 26. 27 is when he appears before Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas. This is when he's crucified, all this stuff. So we're right at the very end. They have walked with him for 3.5 years. They've seen what he's done. He's ministered to him. He's ministered to them. He's blessed them. He's talked to them. He's just revealed things. For some reason, they're not getting it. They just aren't getting it. And here, after 3.5 years of instruction by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, they're still very, very, very immature. You see, you couldn't go to a seminary and get a better spiritual education than what they got from the Lord Jesus himself, but they're still very, very immature. Here are some other things that the Lord said to them from John chapter 16. And this is near the end of his ministry too. In fact, chapters 14, beginning with 14 in John, this is Jesus preparing them for when he departs. Okay? In verse 7, Jesus says, "It's expedient for you that I go away." In other words, it is most necessary for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And then look at verse 13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of the truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Now, back in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus Christ is the truth. Now he's saying, when the Spirit of truth comes. In other words, I've been with you guys and I've been teaching you as the Son of Man, the Christ. But when I come to you as Spirit, it's then that you're going to open up to revelations and visions you never knew. See, then the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. But he shall not speak of himself. Now, strange thing, Jesus is referring to himself as another person. He says, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. Now what does he do as the Spirit of truth? He shall glorify me. See? But he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Brethren, you don't realize it now, but when the Spirit of truth comes on the scene, this is when you're going to get some superb teaching. "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." In verse 16, "A little while you shall not see me." See? Why? Because it's expedient for you that I go away. "A little while and you shall not see me. Again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." But we understand. What does that mean? "A little while you shall see me." In other words, it's not going to take very long, and you're going to begin seeing me, but in a way that you've never seen me before. You're going to have perception, see. Now, let me put this in a time frame. We're at the end of Jesus' ministry. He's been teaching those disciples, ministering to them for 3.5 years as the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of Man. They're still very, very, very immature. Now, you move less than 2 months forward to the day of Pentecost. You see, there's 50 days before Passover, from Passover to Pentecost. So you've got 50 days in there. Now, He appeared to them after his resurrection for 40 days, and he was in the grave 3 days. So we figure that's 43. They were in that upper room for at least 7 days. But here's the thing that was happening. After his crucifixion, what are we going to do, guys? Peter said, I'm going fishing. I don't know what you're doing. I'm going fishing. He's gone. It's over with. No, it's not over with. Peter, you don't realize how much you don't know yet. But here's the thing. Less than 2 months down the road, they're up in that upper room for about a week, and they're worshiping. And then the day of Pentecost takes place. What are they doing in that upper room? They're learning how to worship the Lord who they cannot see. They're learning to worship Him in spirit and in truth. They're learning to know Him. And then on that precious day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, they were filled with the very presence and spirit of the Lord. Then the miraculous change took place. From that day forward, they were different people. They had revelation. The scriptures had opened up to them. They could minister the mysteries of Christ from the Old Testament, and they were speaking the Word of God, and miracles and things were happening. After 3.5 years with Jesus Himself, and they were not growing, they were still so immature they couldn't do anything. And Jesus, how long am I going to be with you? Oh, you have little faith. But then, in such a short time, something happened that these disciples became real men of God. It was spoken of them that they who have turned the world upside down have come here also. People looked at them and they said, it's obvious they've been with Jesus. You see, but here's the thing. What made the difference? The difference is they quit relating to the Lord as a man in the natural. And they learned how to recognize Him spiritually, learned how to recognize His spirit. And this is where the change took place. And this is where they became real men of God. They weren't looking forward to another day. Well, when He comes back to them, He was back. He was with them. He was in them. He was moving through them. And they moved with such a boldness that it scared people. And the difference was in their relationship to the Lord. It's the same thing today. As long as we're only relating to Him as a man, we're not going to grow. And we're sitting back, well, one day when He comes back. But if we can make that breakthrough, that transition, like the disciples did, and learn how to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and to know Him, to know His presence, and as long as we're looking for another day when Jesus the man will come back, we don't know Him yet. One of the disciples said, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? It's expedient for you that I go away. If I do not go away, you're going to cling to the man, Jesus. But if I go away and the Spirit of truth comes, He shall guide you into all truth because He is Spirit. You see, there's the difference. If we want to grow spiritually, we're going to have to stop relating to Him as a man and begin relating Him to Him as the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think, might be good to just wrap this up. Henceforth, this is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, though we have known Him as a man, as Jesus the Nazarene, Yet henceforth, we know him no more in that way. Pretty simple. It wasn't easy. When he begins to leave, you'd probably be like Peter. I might as well go fishing. You see? But I believe that is the key to spiritual growth. The spiritual growth did not take place while they had Jesus ministering to them as a man. The spiritual growth took place, the spiritual change took place when the man was out of the way and they learned to recognize a spiritual, present Lord and to serve him. That's what brings change. Amen.